We're going to talk as we go on about different aspects of the Holy Name and so on, and the potency of the Holy Name. So that'll come up more when we get to the fifth offense, sixth offense, like that, how powerful the Holy Name is. Okay, so now we're still going through the first offense. We talked about different types of qualities, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's explanation. Now we've also written up on the board here, you see on this side, four types of blasphemy. And we want you to know this, please, for the test. There are four main types of blasphemy. This is according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You just write them down. That you blaspheme or you criticize someone, make some funny remarks about a devotee because of their birth. You know, I'm sure you can all imagine what sorts of things people might say like that. Birth or background, you know, what sort of history the person had prior to Krishna consciousness. Then the devotee, in the course of trying to practice Krishna consciousness, sometimes devotees get into trouble and they may break a principle somehow, or just somehow or other get into some difficulty. So accidental fall down, we shouldn't hold that against them, that, oh yeah, him, you know, I remember what he did 5 years ago. That sort of thing. Last traces of previous sin. Like, just to give you an example, I think it's quite a good example, that when Srila Prabhupada took Krishna consciousness to America, and so many American boys and girls became devotees, then went to Europe, and so Krishna consciousness was spreading in the Western world, and Prabhupada then took, after some years, took some of the devotees to America, I mean to India, and the caste Brahmins and so many people there, because they, I mean actually they're in certain respects much better mannered and much more cultured in certain respects. And you know, the American boys and girls a little loud sometimes, you know, and sometimes eat with the left hand and things like that, which matter. I mean, we should learn about these things if we don't know them already. But they're not big, big, big things, as we mentioned, for someone who's really attached to Krishna. But the caste Brahmins, some caste Brahmins and others there in India, they notice some of these things. You know, a little, you could say, grossness, something like that. And so they thought this was quite bad. And Srila Prabhupada, he noted that, and he really didn't appreciate that. So last traces of previous sin. Because of previous sin, one is born in a sinful family with and has sinful habits and gets brought up in an environment which encourages that. But then if they take to Krishna consciousness wholeheartedly, then we shouldn't hold that against them. So that's the sort of thing we mean by last traces of previous sin. And there's one amusing incident I'm sure you've heard of, where some of those devotees on that first visit, they were in Vrindavan and they went to one of the main temples there, what we call the caste Goswami temples. They're, the people who run it are disciples, are descendants of disciples of the six Goswamis. And they've adopted the name or term Goswami as their family name. Yeah. So anyway, a couple of our devotees were there watching the arati in one of these temples, and the pujari was doing the arati and saw they were there, and then he went and offered them something and they received it nicely, and they were behaving very well. Yeah. And that pujari was quite surprised that they were well-mannered, and you know, they interacted in a like gentle way like that. So in the end he came and said, oh, you are such nice devotees. You carry on like this, and in your next lives, you can be born in a family like this, and you can offer arati on the altar here. So the devotees, anyway, they didn't really know what to say, but they went back to Srila Prabhupada and told Srila Prabhupada that this is what the man had said. And Srila Prabhupada said, so, well, what was your reply? And they said, well, we didn't really, we just heard what he said. Prabhupada said, you should have told him that if you carry on offering arati so nicely like this, then in your next life, you can take birth in ISKCON. Yeah, Prabhupada said that. So, you know, all these things about... I remember I've had personal experience debating with the Brahmins, some Brahmins in Jagannath Puri. Yeah. One of the Brahmins who, you know, they have traditional services there, so this particular one, or there's two or three of them, but the main one, he was one of the main pujaris who dresses Lord Jagannath. And, you know, we were... And he was, you know, on a certain level, he was quite friendly. And you wouldn't think he was the sort of person that if you walked into his temple, he'd kick you out or get the guards to come and hit you with a stick. So we asked, well, you know, can we come in? And he said, no, no. And we asked, why not? And then, you know, we'd been discussing on the basis of scripture. And he was acknowledging, yes, yes, this and that. And he said, because you've eaten cow. So he wouldn't let us in. So, you know, this falls into this category here. Maybe it's number one. Oh no, number four. Number four. Or number one. I mean, it's sort of like connected with them. So, sins prior to becoming a devotee and so on. So these are four types of blasphemy, which if you do them, yeah, it's not very good. It's very bad. So you please note those. And we're going to ask you about those in the test. Next thing is, oh, we mentioned about Krishna's explanation in Bhagavad Gita number 3. Well, that's related to what we were talking about earlier, about, in fact, it's related really to blasphemy number 2. Yeah. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak. Sadur eva samantavya samyavya vasatohisa. And Krishna is saying, the translation is there, I think, yes. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he's engaged in devotional service, he's to be considered saintly because he's properly situated in his determination. So even if someone does something really bad, a devotee, but they remain, they're fixed, or at least they're trying to be Krishna conscious and they're dedicated to that. They're not just running off and, you know, just breaking all the principles. You know, they've some difficulty arose, but actually they're really trying to recover their position. Then Krishna says, sadur eva. Yes, Putana was asadvi, but here Krishna is saying, sadur eva. Eva means definitely. Definitely a sadhu, definitely a saintly person. And you may have heard about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on that verse, chapter 9, verse 30. There's a dialogue. He presents a dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, in which Arjuna is protesting that how can we consider this person a sadhu if he's done some nonsense? And Krishna is insisting, yes, you must, because I say so. And then Krishna... Or Arjuna asks, it's a fairly, you know, it's quite a long conversation actually. And at the end, Arjuna says, well look, I could understand if someone did some sin, a devotee falls down, but then they're trying to get themselves together again, then we might say that, okay, this person is sadhu. But what if they carry on doing that nonsense? And we can't consider them a sadhu, can we? But Krishna says, no, that as long as this person remains engaged in devotional service, like this, the main quality, Swarup Lakshana, remains attached to me, to Krishna, then Krishna says, such a devotee lamenting that I'm like a black sheep amongst the devotees, and I have this bad habit, I can't get free of it, I can't get free of it, but still I'm going to continue in devotional service. I'll still continue. Then Krishna tells Arjuna that I personally accept the sinful reactions of that person, of that devotee. I take them on my head. And in due course of time, through that regret and repentance, the devotee becomes purified. But in the meantime, I carry that devotee. I carry that devotee and I take his reactions. So this is Krishna's explanation in Bhagavad Gita, which is carrying on from what we discussed earlier. So let's go on now to the last one, some case histories. There are many case histories. We mentioned Ambarish Maharaj with Devasa Muni. That was a case history. I'm sure you can think of some others. Can you think of any really interesting, heavy blasphemy, offense, Vaishnava aparad cases from our scriptures? How about Jagaya Madai? That's pretty heavy. Have you heard of Chapal Gopal? Have you heard of Chapal Gopal? He was pretty heavy. Well, actually, he wasn't that heavy, in a sense. What happened with Chapal Gopal? He's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita and in more detail in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Chapal Gopal, he tried to... Someone suggesting something? No? He tried to embarrass Srivasa Thakura, who was a leading Vaishnava, by putting outside his door the paraphernalia for worshipping Durga. Not just Durga, but Chandi, who's a particular form of Durga who's worshipped with meat and liquor. She's a pretty heavy form of Durga. So he left these things outside Srivasa Thakura's door. And, you know, along with things like red hibiscus. You know about that? We don't offer red hibiscus to Krishna. That's only for Durga. Patchouli. You know what is patchouli? It's used by Lord Shiva. It's not used by Vaishnavas. All these things. And Srivasa Thakura walked out. Actually, some people saw. And they came and knocked on Srivasa Thakura's door and said, look, what's this? And Srivasa Thakura, of course, it was nothing to do with him. But he said, oh, so now you've found out what I'm like. He didn't say, oh, it wasn't me. I've been framed. No. He said, well, now you know what I'm like. So anyway, the person who done it was Chapal Gopal. That's a very funny name, because Chapal means shoe. So Gopal the shoe, or shoes Gopal, something like that. So it was Chapal Gopal. He was trying to embarrass Srivasa Thakura. So you know what happened to Chapal Gopal? He got leprosy as a result of that offense. He got leprosy. And his body was falling to pieces, literally, sort of dissolving. And he was in most horrible suffering condition. So what he did a good thing. He approached Lord Chaitanya. He previously was one of the people who had been mocking Lord Chaitanya. But he approached Lord Chaitanya. And let me just read it, because it's pretty effective. So, suddenly a leper appeared in the assembly and came before the Lord. He threw himself on the ground like a stick, groaning in pain. Then, getting up, he lifted his arms high and began to wail loudly. He cried, O merciful Lord, you have risen like the sun on this earth, only to dissipate the sufferings of this material life. Your compassionate nature is always moved by the distress of others, and so I have come to you. I'm burning in the pain of leprosy. Kindly tell me how I can be relieved of this. So you know what Lord Chaitanya said? Do you think he said, oh yeah, I'm really such a shame. Yes, let me call a doctor. I'll help you, certainly. Just surrender to me. I'll help you. Do you think that's what Lord Chaitanya said? I'm afraid not. When the leper had finished speaking, the Lord addressed him angrily with a thundering voice. He said, go! Go away from here. Just seeing you incurs sin. Even if a very pious man sees your face, the whole day will bring him only despair. You're a wretched sinner and an offender of Vaishnavas. Much more suffering is in store for you. You cannot tolerate this pain, you contemptuous rascal. How are you going to live through the sufferings in the Kumbhipaka hell? People in the Kumbhipaka hell are cooked in boiling oil with bodies that don't die, but which feel pain very sensitively. You just touch them and wow, it's a shocking experience. But even if you try and cut their head off, they won't die. Yes, you cut the head off, they're still alive. Yes? Kumbhipaka. A Vaishnava is so pure that just us uttering his name can cleanse the entire universe. Lord Brahma takes pleasure in singing the glories of the Vaishnavas. One easily attains the inconceivable association of the Supreme Lord Krishna simply by serving one Vaishnava. In fact, nothing is superior to the worship of a Vaishnava. Then Lord Chaitanya quotes Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna again addressing Uddhava, 11, 14, 15. My dear Uddhava, neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Sankarshan, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self are as dear to me as you are. There's significance in the mentioning of those particular people. Lord Brahma is the son of the Lord. Lord Shiva is his partial expansion. Lord Sankarshan, Balaram, is his brother. And Lakshmi is his wife. None of them are as dear to Krishna as Uddhava or as a devotee. So anyone who offends a Vaishnava and criticizes him has to suffer terrible consequences life after life. A person's piety, education and austerity are rendered useless by criticizing a Vaishnava. Lord Krishna even refuses to accept worship from that person, even if he is a Vaishnava. Mother Earth feels blessed when a Vaishnava dances on her. Just the very sight of a Vaishnava destroys nescience and sin in every direction. And when dancing, if he lifts his arms to the sky, he waves away all ill fortune in the heavenly abodes. Put your hands up and say, Hare Krishna! How merciful of you. You just waved away all ill fortune in the heavenly abodes. Such an elevated devotee is Srivas Thakur, and you are so demonic that you have offended him. Your leprosy is just a mere reminder of your offense. The actual punishment is yet to come, to be meted out by Yamaraj in 8,400,000 species of life. Therefore, I do not even want to see you. And I'm not the one to deliver you. That's pretty heavy. Because this man, you know, he's suffering so badly. His body is literally melting. His fingers, just every day, a little bit goes. And his whole body, everything, was melting away with leprosy. And, like, leprosy is a disease of heat in Ayurvedic terms. Heat. The body the heating system of the body becomes too high, so the body starts melting. So, his body was just melting away. The Lord Chaitanya took it pretty heavily. So then, Chapal Gopal replied with utmost humility and meekness, holding a straw in his teeth. He prayed, "In my ignorance, I have destroyed myself. Delirious with the material disease, I have grievously criticized and offended a Vaishnava." Anyway, then he goes on, basically. It's interesting. "For this heinous act, I've rightly deserved my painful due. Now, my Lord, please think of my deliverance." So then, the Lord replied, "Leprosy for an offender is just his first punishment. It is only the beginning. The worst is yet to come. Yamaraj has 8,400,000 types of excruciating punishments waiting for the offenders. You should go right away to Shiva's Pandit and throw yourself at his feet." Yeah. So he did that. And Shiva's Pandit forgave him immediately, and he became all right immediately. Yes, he became fine. And he became one of the devotees. He joined Lord Chaitanya's party. And the author, Vrindavan Das Thakur, makes a very interesting comment at the end. "If one sees two Vaishnavas quarreling, then one should never think that something is amiss or that there is enmity and malice between them. Such quarreling is in fact pleasing to the Lord and is transcendental. The arguments and abuses exchanged between Rukmini Devi and Satyabhama Devi, although sounding like serious fights, are factually not so, because they are forever united in their service to their common Lord and Master. There is no enmity between Vaishnavas. The Supreme Lord himself induces these fights due to his frolicsome nature. But if anyone foolishly sides with one Vaishnava against another, then he is doomed due to offending a Vaishnava. The Vaishnavas are the extensions of the Lord's limbs. So how can one benefit by serving him with one hand and inflicting pain on him with the other? One who has developed such vision becomes steady in devotional service. One who understands that Lord Krishna and his devotees are non-different, and with this knowledge serves the Lord, can easily cross the ocean of nescience. One who glorifies, hears, and understands these transcendental subject matters can always avoid Vaishnava aparad." So, yes, an example of how the Lord takes it so extremely seriously. Very seriously. You know, who would not be compassionate on a poor leper? Yeah. But the Lord took it so heavily. I want to talk also about Jagai and Madhai, but we've run out of time, so we can talk a bit about them tomorrow. Any comments or questions so far? Are you meant to speak into a microphone? Is he meant to speak into a microphone?
Well, you're talking about Sarva Lakshana. So would and the attachment that a devotee has for Krishna, which is like one of the main principal qualities, for us to, you know, not offend him. Would Krishna then reciprocate according to that degree of attachment? Or how do we identify, you know, someone is just, you know, someone, if you try to correct someone or help someone, well, I'm attached to Krishna, and I might not, you know, just chanting or, you know, how, what intensity of that attachment?
Yes, okay, well, that's a good question. We started off right at the beginning by saying that, you know, you can't offend any devotee, even if they're you know, someone who's right at the very beginning stages and has many problems. But at the same time, Krishna being a person, he appreciates more some devotees than others. Like, we just read that verse 11, 14, 15 where Krishna tells Uddhava that neither Lord Brahma, who's a devotee, or Lord Shiva or Lord Balaram or Lakshmi, they're all devotees. They're as dear to me as you. And then the gopis or the inhabitants of Vrindavan and ultimately the gopis are the most dear of all. And Krishna, yes, Krishna will reciprocate, I mean, your reactions for offending a Vaishnava may vary according to the advancement of the devotee. Yeah, like Chapal Gopal, he sort of played a practical joke, you could say, on Srivas Thakur. It's not a big thing, really, in a certain sense. But Krishna took it so seriously. Oh, so very seriously. Yeah, so that's an example. There are many different... Actually, you could have a course just on this subject of Vaishnava Virag, in fact. So we're just kind of touching on a few important points. But there are different... Here we've got four types of blasphemy. But there's blasphemy on three different levels. Blasphemy within the mind, blasphemy which is verbally expressed, and blasphemy which is physically expressed. And we're going to mention a little bit about Bhrigu Muni if we have time, who experimented with those three. So, you know, if you think blasphemously about a devotee, then it may happen that you'll get a reaction within your mind. There's a very interesting story about Rupa Goswami who, in Bhakti Ratnakara, who unintentionally, actually didn't commit an offense. There was no fault. But someone felt offended by him within his mind. That Rupa Goswami was meditating on Radha and Krishna's pastimes, and he was in them, in his transcendental body. And externally, you know, he was just not conscious. So in this pastime, what happened was, if I remember correctly, that Radharani was trying to decorate herself. It's the pastime connected with Sringarbhat in Vrindavan town. Radharani is trying to decorate herself secretly without Krishna seeing. But Krishna is sneaking up behind her. And Krishna, some of the manjaris are decorating Krishna's hair, but Krishna tells them just, you know, one side, and he steps in. And he's now decorating Radharani's hair. And Radharani thinks it's one of the gopis. So, you know, this is going on. And then she picks up a mirror and sees, there's Krishna, and laughs, and everyone laughs. And Rupa Goswami, who's Rupa Manjari, the head of the Manjaris, he or she laughed. And Rupa Goswami's external body laughed. Yeah. And there was one elderly Vaishnava who was kind of, you know, very old, and his body was not very strong, and he was like hunched back sort of, and, you know, awkward, very awkward type of bodily condition. So he was walking along and he saw there's Rupa Goswami, looked up, and then suddenly he saw there's Rupa Goswami looking straight at me and laughing at me. And he thought, wow, what have I done? And he got into tremendous anxiety. Actually, there was no offense. There was no offense on Rupa Goswami's part. There's no question of someone like that committing an offense. But the thing is that devotee felt anxiety within the mind. Yeah. So it was like that. And Rupa Goswami, suddenly he came out of his meditation and he couldn't understand, why is my meditation broken? So then he again sat down, he was trying to go into his meditation, and he couldn't. He tried, but he couldn't re-enter that meditation. And then he got into anxiety. Yeah. He got into anxiety. Now that elderly Vaishnava, he, you know, there's Rupa Goswami.